I stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and more. I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in your presence.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There is nothing you cannot do.
Oh Lord, I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in your presence.
There is joy, peace, and hope.
There is joy, peace, and hope.
I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in your presence.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There is nothing you cannot do.
Oh Lord, I
stand amazed in your presence.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There's no one.
There's no one like you.
Great.
that you are great God.
Great are you, Lord.
Oh, you are great. You are greater than the greatest.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
If you believe it in the house this morning, can we raise our voices and say,
hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. 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 Let's keep encouraging them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing today? Well, we have a slight change in the order of the service today, because the Lord is leading, so how about that? You know, we want to use time more efficiently. So I'm going to be bringing the word right now. Our scripture for the month of January, and of course our guiding scripture for the rest of the year, is taken from John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I'd like to do a very quick recap of last week. Very, very brief. It's not going to be detailed at all. Last week, we were looking at a few scriptures. We looked at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 17. Jeremiah 31 and verse 17. And it says, there is hope for you in your future. And what we were talking about basically was, it is possible at the beginning of the year, some people feel hopeless. They are anxious. They don't know what to expect in the year. Another year has rolled by. Last year, my expectations were cut short. This new year, what's going to happen to me? I'm telling you, the scripture says that there is hope for you in your future. And it says your children will be restored to your border. And we know Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, it says that the thoughts that I have towards you are good thoughts. And they are thoughts to bring you to a very wonderful place. And we also read Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, God declares the end of a matter from the beginning of the matter. Amen? God makes declaration about the end of a matter even before it gets started. From the very beginning, he knows the end. He knows all things. So that means there is no reason for you and I to be anxious. The Bible says we should be anxious for nothing. And we looked at four things, basically. Number one, we looked at restoration. We said, God, this year God will restore us in the name of Jesus. And that's what that scripture tells us, Jeremiah 31:17. It says, your children will be restored to your border. So every opportunity that has been lost, as we wait on the Lord, how many of us are fasting? Well, if you're not, you should fast. You know, this is a corporate fast. You know, it's going to be helpful. You know, almost everybody is fasting right now. You know, if you join in, then the corporate anointing will flow to you as well. Praise the Lord. So this year, we will see restoration take place in the mighty name of Jesus. God will give us peace. He said, Psalm 37 and verse 37, Psalm 37 verse 37, it says, have you seen an upright man? He said, the end of that man is peace. Amen. The end of that man is peace. God will give you peace. God will give me peace in the name of Jesus. And we said that God will give us hope because it says this year there is hope in your future. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. And Isaiah chapter 60 verse 15 tells us that we will be a joy to many generations. So today what I want to do is I want us to begin to unpack our scripture of the month. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever, the one that believes in me, it says, one thing will happen to him. Number one, they will do the works that I have done. And then number two, it says, I'm even taking it further. Not only will they do the work that I have done, they will do greater works than I have done. So the first thing we see there is belief. Belief. Without belief, if we don't believe in him, we cannot do the works that he has done. It will be impossible for us to do the work that he has done. God, Jesus, did so many works, great works in scripture. He healed the sick. He gave the blind sight. Amen. He gave the leprous man that met him as he was coming down from the mountain. He said, Master, if thou willest, I can be made whole. He said, I will be made whole. Amen. He raised the dead. He healed the cripple. The dumb spoke. Amen. The deaf heard. So he did so many great works. And he's saying that you and I, we will do great works. We will do even greater works than he has done. So the first thing is belief. What is belief? What is belief? Belief is simple. Belief is an opinion or judgment in which a person is fully persuaded. When you say, I believe something, it means, that's dictionary definition of it. It says it is an opinion or a judgment of something that you have become fully persuaded of. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded. And in scripture, those people that attained great heights, those people that did great things, those people that did wonderful things, those people that are worthy of our emulation, the people that we talk about today were people that were fully persuaded. People that were fully persuaded. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 5, Romans chapter 14 and verse 5, it says, one man estimate one day above another. Another estimate every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded of his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded of his own mind. Friends, if you are not fully persuaded in the things that you have believed, amen, it means you really do not believe what you claim to have believed. In fact, a proof of your belief is the steps you take following your belief. Belief is not only in the confession that I believe. The things that I do are indicative of the fact that I truly believe. I am fully persuaded that this year God will do great things. In the mighty name of Jesus. I really am excited about this year. More so than last year. Amen. I don't know, maybe for you it's a natural progression, but I'm more persuaded this year. I'm really fully persuaded that this year we will see great things happen in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's begin. Let's look at a few examples from scripture of people that demonstrate this full persuasion. Friends, if I am fully persuaded, everything that God said I can have them. Everything that God said I can do them. Praise the Lord. The limitation we have placed upon ourselves are limitations that unbelief have introduced into our lives. You know, there's a guy in scripture that took the child to Jesus, you know, for healing. And then they said, look, please, I know I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Just in case there is an iota of unbelief somewhere inside of me that I myself am not aware of. You know, he said, let's just cover all the bases. Help my unbelief, even though I believe that I believe. Let's look at Abraham very quickly. You see, the example of Abraham is a very classic example. Because many times, many people will give up on ourselves on what the Lord can or cannot do in our lives. In fact, I have had individuals that have disqualified themselves by themselves. Number one, people will say, well, that's for young people. I'm too old for that. Really? Age is in the mind. But not for so long. After a while, your body begins to give you certain information that I know you used to do that, but years have passed. You can't do that anymore. Praise the Lord. There was a once upon a time that I could run like 3-4 miles in the morning, you know, but we have handed that over to Brother Ken now. They're the ones doing the 4-mile run and 2-mile run now. But what am I saying? It is never too late for you as an individual. It is only too late for you when you say it is over. It is too late. You can always start over again with God. Because God is a God of many chances and many opportunities. You know, one of our ministers here, a grandmother, is in nursing school. Studying to become a registered nurse. Amen? 60. Is that okay? You know, women, once it gets to a certain age, they don't mind you mentioning their age anymore. If I tell April's age now, she'll be upset with me. I'm not sure I remember anymore. But I know she's up there somewhere. Okay, that's bad in itself. Okay, she's down there somewhere. Praise the Lord. Abraham, when God called him, he was 75 years old. 75 years. 75 years he yielded to the call of God upon his life. Caleb, when they got to the promised land, he said, as my strength was 45 years ago, so is my strength today. It was 85 when he wanted to go claim the mountain that was promised to him. Friends, I want us to look at the year in a new way. I want us to begin to reconsider and refocus and redirect our attention, knowing that God is a God of many chances. He will restore unto you lost opportunities in the name of Jesus. So it's never too late for me. As long as I am willing to give it a shot again, as long as I'm willing to give it a try again, God will restore. Amen. The Bible says concerning Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and verses 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, 20 and 21. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Whatever it is the Lord has promised is able to deliver. Amen. He's a faithful God. The book of Hebrews tells us that faithful is he who has promised. Faithful is he who has promised. You know, a failure is not the person that failed at an attempt. A failure is one that failed and refuses to try again. That's a failure. You are not defined because you fail. Every successful person has failed at one time or the other at something. Amen? So, really, it's welcome to the club. Amen? Successful people, they have mastered failure. That is why they can succeed. Amen? Some people have never tried or have refused to try because they are afraid they may fail. If I fail, big deal. Bill Gates did not finish college. But he didn't give up on the dream. What he was working on, he continued working on it until God gave him good wealth. Until he got good success. It's God, inventions. He said, he will give us wisdom, for witty inventions. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Abraham is an example that it is never too late for me to try again. It's an example that with God, all things are possible. Job tells us in Job chapter 42, Job 42 and verse 2, Job 42 and verse 2. Say, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from you. I know you can do everything. There is nothing too difficult for God to do. There is nothing I need. There is nothing I want today that God cannot provide. Nothing. Nothing is too difficult for him. Amen. But we see that Abraham did not allow his body to dissuade him. He was fully persuaded. In fact, when God talked to him again that he was going to have this son, he said, Lord, maybe this my bond servant, let Ishmael leave. God said, no, my plan for you is not with Ishmael. The Ishmael deal is the deal that you cut for yourself, but that's not my deal for you. The deal I have for you is the very best, the very best. So God has the very best for you, and he will work out that best for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's look at Job. Job, the story of Job is a very intriguing story. And I like to study the story of Job because it reminds me of my personal frailties. You know, sometimes when you have succeeded over a long period of time, you think it's impossible for you to have difficulties or challenges in life. Job, the Bible tells us in Job chapter 1 that Job was a righteous man. In fact, Job was so righteous that God himself was making boasts about Job. God boasted in Job. He was a righteous man, a man that eschews evil. He ran away from evil. He did not want any evil around him. He prayed so much. He prayed for his children. Every time he prayed, he makes sacrifices for his children. Job was a righteous man. Job was a good man. But the enemy came and attacked him. Last week we were praying and we're talking about the things that the enemy said. The enemy said, I will pursue. The enemy said, I will overtake. The enemy said, I will take their possession and I'll draw out my sword and I will have my desire fulfilled on them. But what is God saying? Amen? What is God saying? So the enemy came and God gave him permission to touch Job. Can I tell you something this morning? Whatever it is I am going through in my life, it is because God has figured that I am able to deal with it. That's why he has allowed it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us exactly that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says that there are no, can we go back to the New King James, please? Thank you. Say, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Anything that God has allowed to come my way is because he has equipped me with resources to deal with it. And if he sees that I am not able to handle it, then he will create a way of escape in that situation. Amen? Amen. Job was mesmerized by the enemy. The Bible tells us that all of his possessions he lost in one day. Job, when Job was introduced to us in Job chapter 1, the Bible says he was the richest man in the East. He was a boxed up guy, but a man that was rich but feared the Lord. Amen. A man that was rich, but feared the Lord. Feared the Lord. Reverenced the Lord. Worshiped the Lord. Prayed. Sacrificed unto this God. But still, the enemy, God gave permission to touch him. Amen. But when the enemy came, Job was resolute. Job was resolute. In Job chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Because at this point, he went in one day from being the richest man to one of the poorest men. In one day, he lost all of his sons and daughters. And then the enemy went back to God and said, oh, I know the reason why he has not denied you. The reason he has not denied you is because I've not touched him. If I touch his body, he will deny you. God said, I know Job. Even if you touch his body, he will not deny me. Let me ask you this. What will it take for the enemy to do in your life for you to deny God? What exactly will it take? What will it take? Say, what will separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? Trials? What is it? What will it take for you to deny God? What is the price over your head? There was a guy, I was a relative of mine, actually, that we were going to get into some business together. Lots of money. You know, we're going to get into business, you know, partnership and stuff. And then he told me one day, he said, every man has a price. I mean, I had reservations before because we're not of the same faith, you know. But I said, well, let's just try it out. It's a relative, you know. But he began to tell me that every man has a price. He was telling me indirectly that there's a price for me. That there's a certain amount of money that will cost me to deny God. At that point, I drew the line. I said, this money, these plans looked good. In fact, the initial fund transfer that was supposed to happen at the time was $5 million. Initial. The volume of business that we'll have been doing will be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. But I drew the line. The Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Bill Gates, as rich as he is today, he has not gained the whole world. No. He has not even gained America. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he was becoming too strong, the government decided to intervene to trim things down. And he had to give up some things. You know? So, he has not even gained the whole of America. Talk of gain the whole world. What is the price on your head? Have you thought about that before? What will they offer you? What kind of proposition will they make to you that will make you say, I deny God? I remember the story of Bishop Polycarp, one of the early martyrs of the faith. You know, they told him, they said, look, all we want you to say is Caesar is Lord. Jesus is not Lord. And then you can escape all this trouble. They were taking him to the stake. They were going to burn him alive at the stake. He said, 85 or 86 years, I have worked with Jesus. He has never failed me. He has never disappointed me. Why will I deny him? They took him to the stake. They burnt him. They hammered him down and everything until he died. But he would rather die. He would rather die. What would be the price? The wife of Job said to him, "Say you have lost everything. Look at you boys all over. You don't even look like a human being anymore. Say, curse God and die." You see, what she said is very true. She knew that by cursing God, he will attract the wrath of God, and then he will die pretty much. Amen. Or at least lose his relationship with God. Say, curse God and die. Verse 10, Job responds to her. Job said, but he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You know why? Because Job was fully persuaded. Somebody was telling me something yesterday, very simple, very, you know, it didn't seem important to me, but it seemed important to him, and he was telling me. You know, when I started the Bible college, this individual said, you know what, Pastor, don't worry about it. Between my wife and I, we will pay this bill. You know? And then God made another way. The bill was paid. So I told him, I said, you don't need to give me any money anymore. The bill is already paid. You know, and he was shocked. He's like, Pastor, this is strange. In fact, it took him almost a month to come to get back to me. You know, I'm like, why would I keep collecting your money when the thing you are trying to pay for is already paid for? Praise the Lord. What will it take for you to deny God? Is it paper? So I need paper. I'm out of status in America. I need paper. And because I need paper, I'm going to deny God. You know, people say things like, oh, marriage, you know, it's just an arranged marriage. It's not a real marriage, really. When you are ready to marry, really, will you say, really, I'm not really married? Let's go to court and do a second marriage. Nobody will. In fact, there's a jail sentence for that. If you try to marry twice. Amen? So, what will it take? What is the price? What is the price? What is the price for you to deny God? But the Bible says in all of this, Job was fully persuaded. In fact, in Job 13 and verse 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I what? Yet will I trust in him. You see that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Friends, for you to make it with God, you must be fully persuaded. If you are still one leg in, one leg out, it's not going to work. I can assure you of that right now. And that's the problem with the church today. Too many people are on the fence. Apostle Paul is another example in Scripture. Apostle Paul was clearly fully persuaded. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 19, the Bible says, Paul said to King Agrippa, said, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declare first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting of repentance. Friends, he held on to the call of God upon his life in spite of his life being endangered. In fact, three times they told him, don't go to Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, this is what is going to happen to you. He said, I'm going to go anyway. Why? Because he's fully persuaded of the call of God upon his life. As a child of God, as a believer, are you fully persuaded? Amen? Are you a confessional Christian? The way I used to put it is like this. What we have really, we have a new form of atheism in existence today. What we have today are not atheist, crazy people like that. What we have are many atheists in the church too. The atheists that you find in the church are the ones I call functional atheists. Functionally, they are atheists. Because by the things they do and the way they carry on, you don't see any God in it. They live their life regardless of God. There is no God in the way they live. You know, so that person functionally, the way they live, is an atheist. He may not have confessed and denied God by their words, but by the way they live their lives, they have already denied the faith. The Lord will deliver us in Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle Paul declared very boldly, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, because I have died to Christ, say it is not me that I'm not the one living anymore. I have given up my life. I have surrendered my life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of God. I live by the faith of Christ. Friends, there will be challenges in life. There will be difficulties in life. There will be things that will shake your faith. But those trials are to confirm your faith. Amen? Those things, they are to confirm your faith, to see where you stand. How do you know whether or not you have faith if it is not challenged? You know, I was telling someone the other day, if you are praying for patience, say, Lord, please give me patience. Lord, give me patience. Give me patience. Give me patience. How will he give it to you? Send a packet of patience and give to you. You know, give you a box of patience. Say, here's $10,000 worth of patience. Take. No. He's going to present you with a situation that will make you impatient, but you will be patient because of his grace in that situation. Now you know you have faith and you have patience. Amen? It's not going to give you a packet of patience. It's not going to give you a bundle of patience. That thing will try you, and in that thing, you will be able to stand. Then you know you have faith. Now you have patience, rather. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul completely yielded himself unto the Lord. You know, when we talk about greater works, for us to do greater works is nothing for God. And we see examples. The Bible tells us about all these great apostles, Peter, Paul, and all of these guys. The Bible says they took handkerchiefs from them and they took to sick people and they were healed. We still see that existing today. Amen? And some others, when they hear that Paul is coming, they will lay the sick along the street so that his shadow, somebody say shadow, his shadow can touch them. And his shadow was healing people. His shadow was healing people. Elisha, his dead bones. Maybe you should go to the back. The people behind you are distracted by the baby. The shadow of Paul was healing the sick. The dry bones of Elisha raised the dead. If dead bones are still active, what about you that you are alive? What about me that I'm alive? You should go to the back. What about me that I'm alive? What about you? If we are alive, we must make a difference. Friends, the things that we need to do is we need to carry our faith and belief to the marketplace. We need to carry our faith and to the marketplace and go leave it out there. How many people will come to church in the morning and begin to curse? You know, nobody does that. Even though some people here may still be cursing outside. But you don't come to church and curse. So church is not where you are a Christian. Because in church, you see how everybody is calm? You think everybody is this gentle on a good day? A church is not where to be a Christian. In the marketplace is where we live out our faith. Or somebody say, I'm not a showy kind of believer. Oh, so you are a secret service FBI undercover believer. Just leave. Amen? Leave. If you are fully persuaded about the faith, leave your faith out. That is what God wants us to do. So when we are talking about greater works is not just getting more money, which the Lord will give to you. It's not just about promotion, which the Lord will give to you. Greater works is about living the life of Christ and living it out and shine for him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Let me just jump quickly so that we can round up to conclude. You know, one guy that really fascinated me so much, always, is this young man called Deacon Stephen. The Bible tells us the story of Stephen from Acts 7, 8, and 9. You know, how Stephen, listen to this, Stephen stood for his faith. You know why? He was fully persuaded. Stephen was not politically correct. He was not making politically correct statements. That was not Stephen. He was not making politically correct statements. He declared boldly what he believed before the people. And guess what happened to him? He was stoned to death. Is this ridiculous or what? As he was dying, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my soul. Acts 8, I think it's 59. Can you please pull it up? Don't charge it to the account. Don't charge. How does anybody do that? The very people that stoned him and is now dying and is seeing Jesus in glory, and the only thing he can say is, don't charge it to the account. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60. So then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It means he died. that was his closing statement. You know, he said, don't charge this sin to the account. If you are fully persuaded about this Christ, if you are fully persuaded about this Jesus, there's not, you don't want to get even with anybody. He said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is his. Anybody that is messing with you is messing with the wrong person. I see you don't believe that. Anybody messing with me is messing with the wrong person. It's messing with the wrong person. Because I know in whom I have believed. If God cannot defend you, I don't know how you're going to defend yourself. There was a story many years ago. This was 1994. I had a business transaction with a guy that, because he was older and stronger and more influential and everything, cheated me, you know. And I just cried to God. I didn't cry that God punish him or God do this. Or I just cried, you know, out of the agony of my heart. That why is this man doing this to me? I have not done any wrong to him. Why? I just cried to God. When I had the things happening in his life, I cried to God again. That God, if this is because of my cry, please have mercy on him. First, he was just bad. I think he almost lost his job, and he was one high executive in the bank. I'm not sure if he lost his job, but I think he maybe close to it or lost his job. So why would I want to avenge myself? Stephen, because of his persuasion, because he knew Jesus. He knew he was not in this for himself. He was in this for a greater cause. He said, Lord, don't charge it to them. Don't charge it to them. Hopefully by my death, they will be convinced that you are Lord and you live. Amen? Amen? Believe will almost always lead to action. If I believe, it will cause me to take a step. In fact, the evidence of my unbelief is my lack of action. I'll give you an example. When I was back in Nigeria, you know, and they were talking about lottery, visa, and all of those things, I didn't believe those things. So it's a lie. Which lottery, visa? It's a lie. They have a system of doing those things. You need to know somebody that knows somebody to help you get something that would make the thing work. So because I didn't believe, I never applied for it. He said, so how did I get here? God saw it fit. He gave me this American chick to marry. Praise the Lord. Believe, when you believe, it will almost always lead to action. It will move you to do something. In this church, our approach to ministry is very simple. Our approach to ministry is very simple. We believe what Jesus said, that when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was sick, you did not visit me. We believe in that scripture, and that scripture is foundational for us. And that is what has led us to do the things that we do. Right now, as I'm teaching and preaching, I am feeding you. Is that not so? With the word of God. Amen. And that is why we also started what we have and we call the J factor. Amen? Because this is what Jesus would do. With the J Factor, we give food. We give food out. We have a food pantry. People come. They are benefiting from it. I listened to a guy, and he asked a very interesting question. He said, if your church disappears for one reason or another, will your community miss your church? At your job right now, if you leave, will anybody miss your absence? The people that you have become counselor to, the people that you have become prayer partner to, the people that you have given guidance, the people that you have influenced by the quality of your life, or when you leave, they go, the ones that are Christians will go, hallelujah. Praise God. He's gone or she's gone. No, it shouldn't be like that. So we have a three-step approach to ministry. Number one is give people fish to eat. Give people fish to eat. The second approach is teach people to fish. That we're starting this year. We're starting our vocational training center this year by the grace of God. We plan to start with our training on coding and billing for certification. If you are interested in that, stay tuned. The more information will be coming about that. Because our goal is not for people to come every time collecting food. We want to be able to empower them, equip them, retool them, so they can begin to fend for themselves and not have to always come for food. And the third approach that we are still planning and working on, very simple, is instead of just teaching them to fish, also teach them to build a pond. If they can build a pond, then they have their own body of water, they have their own fish reproducing there, they can always have food to eat. So after retooling and re-equipping people, the plan is we're going to have transitional homes. We're going to have transitional homes. We're going to have, the transitional homes will be for especially the homeless population, where we can keep them, train them, help them with employment, they get a job, and they can begin to live for themselves. Fish in their own pond, do their own job, do their own business, have their own life, have their own home, have their own business, and live a happy life that honors and glorifies God, and not be a burden to the society. You say, Pastor, how does that relate to sermon? You just forgot about your sermon right there. No, I did not. The reason I'm telling you that is the question I must ask myself, the question you must ask yourself is, how will I be a part of what God is doing? Amen. The food distribution is every third Saturday, and we always need help. We always need people. We need people to go to the food bank to pick up the food. We need people to load up the food. We need people to put up the food. We need people to do a lot of things. Where's Sister Omi? I thought I saw her. Yeah. Sister Omi, stand up. Let's put our hands together for her. She's the minister in charge of the J Factor ministry and has been doing an excellent work, by the way. You know, so if you want to be a part of it, which you should, amen, which you should, then speak to her at the end of the service. She'll give you more details about it. But right now, I want us to rise to our feet as we close in prayer. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I want us to bow our heads to pray. And I want us to just take a moment to talk to the Lord. The Lord, where is my place? Where is my place? If you have ever done a DIY project that at the end you finished, you still have a piece left, and you are wondering, where does this piece go? If you are like me, you say, oh, they just put extra. That's a lie. It's because you don't know where it goes. Because every piece in that package is important. Maybe up till now, you did not know what your place is. Why don't you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, where is my place? What would you have me do? Where is my place? Just talk to the Lord for a minute or two. Say, Lord, where is my place? Lord, open my eyes. opened my eyes of understanding. What would you have me do? When Jesus approached Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, that encounter led him to ask a question. Master, what would you have me do? The Lord is counting on you. We are the hands, the mouth, the eyes, the everything for Jesus right now. Do you believe in him? Are you fully persuaded by him? Say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. In the name of Jesus. To discover my place in the scheme of things. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Can you please pull up Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7? Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Say, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Why don't you make that your prayer this morning? Say, Lord Jesus. Say like you mean. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. The Bible says the Lord God will help me. Why don't you ask for his help this morning? Just say, Father, Lord, help me. Help me, help me. Help me to do better. Help me to fulfill your total will and counsel for my life. Lord, I don't want to be a wanderer. I don't want to be a wanderer. In and out. Doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. I want to live by purpose. I want to live by purpose. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, help me, help me, help me. There is help with you, O Lord. There is help. There is help. There is help. There is help with you. There is help. There is help. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Je karadabo shante bradi karadabako rodobo. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. There is help with you. There is help. There is help for me. There is help for me. In the name of Jesus. In my marriage, send help. Send help. Send help. That I may represent you and represent you well, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I will, that I may not bring reproach to your name. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me that I will not deny you. I will not deny you. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. It says, because the Lord is my help, say, I shall not be disgraced. Why don't you make that your prayer now and say, Father, do not let me be disgraced. Don't let me be ashamed. Your word is true. Your word is true. You say, the Lord, I know that God will help me. And therefore, I shall not be disgraced. I will not be disgraced. My wife will not be disgraced. My children will not be disgraced. The church of God will not be disgraced. My friends will not be disgraced. You will not be disgraced in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. I'm totally out of time now. Is there anybody here this morning? Listen close. Listen close. You are afraid. You are afraid. There is a definite danger that there might be a cause for shame. That you'll be disgraced. Something is pending. If God does not move now, it's shame. I want you to come forward very quickly. Very quickly. Anybody? Anybody here? Anybody? A word from the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. Thank you for your word. Your word is life. Lord, you have watered your children today. Lord, I pray that that seed that has been sown will germinate and bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Daddy, glorify yourself in our lives, in your church, in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen.